What's up and welcome to Crossover Wednesdays here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am James Yarko, one of the hosts of Locked On Bucks, and you can find everything that I'm doing over at BucksNation.com. Joined by host of Locked On Falcons, Aaron Freeman, who also is of FalcFans.com. You can find me on Twitter at JYarko_Bucks, and you can find Aaron at FalcFans on Twitter. That's FalcFans. Aaron, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, James. Good to be talking with you. I'm sad that we missed David, but I think it's now an even matchup, one-on-one. So, we should enjoy this crossover episode.
Yeah, it's far more of an even matchup than it will be having Julio versus the Bucs defense or Mike Evans against the Falcons defense, because, man, neither one of our teams could stop a nosebleed with a million pounds of gauze right now. It is unbelievable what has happened with these two teams.
Yes. It really is going to be a game where the best of the worst defenses is going to determine who's going to win this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the Buccaneers are coming off a bye week, a much needed one at that, with the return of Jameis Winston and absolute bludgeoning at the hands of the elite Chicago Bears offense and future Hall of Famer Mitch Trubisky. But the Falcons had the opportunity to head into Pittsburgh and face a team that's really on the ropes. Still no Le'Veon Bell. There's the drama going on with that. Of course, at the time of the game, we didn't know about the Antonio Brown throwing furniture and almost killing a 22-month-old drama. So that's going to keep reeling. But the Falcons went into Pittsburgh and just could not compete with the Steelers. What's going on with the Falcons down there? I understand that they're half their defense looks like an ER unit, but I mean, overall, it just seems like they're just so out of sync so far this year. So kind of what's been going on with them throughout the season?
Well, with the Falcons, obviously you mentioned it, the injuries have been a big issue for their defense, which was a unit that coming into the season, people had high expectations on. I quite didn't have the same level of expectations, but I certainly thought they would be performing much, much better than what they are. Several of their key players, including Keanu Neal, Deion Jones, Ricardo Allen, and now Grady Jarrett, who's dealing with a knee injury. The former three guys I mentioned are out for the season, or Jones is potentially going to be able to come back in the second half of the season off the short-term IR. But basically, those are four out of probably their top six defensive players. And the problem is the four guys that have been sort of forced to step up just pale in comparison to those guys who are all sort of, borderline, if not absolute Pro Bowl caliber guys. And particularly this last game against the Steelers, where the Falcons offense had been, cooking for 3 weeks, starting in week two, the expectation was that this offense would be able to go into Pittsburgh against a pretty soft Steeler defense and, sort of try to carry the day. Unfortunately, that was not the case. They struggled. They really played one good quarter of football in the second quarter, and then the other three quarters really just got dominated by the Steelers. The offensive line was really abysmal. Matt Ryan didn't play particularly well. Julio Jones was shut out for the first three quarters of the game. They couldn't really run the football. Nothing really worked for them in Pittsburgh. And the question is going to be whether or not they'll be able to rebound at home this week against the Buccaneers. The three games where the offense was really, scoring a lot of points were home games. The two games where they've struggled were road games. So that is maybe an interesting sort of question mark for this team in the subsequent games later this season, whether or not you're going to see that sort of dichotomy where they struggle on the road, but they are, in the comfort and confines of their home stadium at Mercedes-Benz. They'll be able to get their offense back on track. So that's the hope going against this Bucs defense that has been pretty soft and that they've historically had a lot of success. You mentioned Julio Jones. So that's the hope going into this game.
Yeah, you mentioned the offense. I'm in one of those season-long FanDuel leagues, and I've won three of the weeks, and the 2 weeks that I've lost, I've had the Matt Ryan Julio Jones stack, which always seems like a great idea, and it just wasn't this past week. But I would definitely be firing up a Matt Ryan Julio Jones stack this week. what's the upshot on Tack? I know he left the game with an injury. Has there been any update as to his status? Did he come back into the game against Pittsburgh, or, you know, is that another defensive injury that people should be worried about?
As far as I know, I don't think that's an injury that should linger in this week. It was labeled as cramps. He did return to last week's game. Okay. So I don't feel like that's going to be a major issue. But then again, several Falcon injuries have been downplayed by this coaching staff so far this year and have wind up, you know, blowing up in their face. So you can't necessarily trust everything that you hear when it comes to the Falcons injury report.
Okay, yeah, and yeah, as you mentioned, the Falcons have played much better at home than they have on the road this season, and this game will be in the dome, where Jameis Winston, when he is a starter, is 2-0. So, you know, the Bucs do have that going for them. But heading into this game, the Falcons are 3.5-point favorites with an over-under of 57.5. And I'll tell you what, if I was a betting guy, I would be hammering the over, because this is going to be one of those games where whichever one of the defenses gets a stop or whichever offense has the ball last, that's probably the team that's going to win. And if you want to lay some money on it, you need to check out our friends over at MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. We would only recommend a service to our listeners that have been good to us, and that's why we urge everyone to make their way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And right now, with the NFL season in full swing, baseball playoffs, hockey season has started, the NBA is coming up soon, they are completely slammed with new bettors. They want to give everyone the best possible customer service. So if you're willing to wait and deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they're going to give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100, in addition to matching your initial deposit dollar for dollar. All you have to do is enter promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON25, when creating your account to claim your free play and your dollar for dollar bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Aaron, looking at it, you have a team coming to town that started off just absolutely on fire. They were able to go into New Orleans and outshoot Drew Brees in one of the highest scoring games of the season so far. Then they come home for their opener against the defending Super Bowl champions, who are not as good as a lot of people thought they were going to be coming into the season. They win another one there. D-Jax is on fire. You have Fitzmagic going crazy. Then you have the Monday night game where, you know, Pittsburgh basically outplayed them for one quarter, but that one quarter was enough to get Pittsburgh a much needed win. Then they go into Chicago and just get absolutely destroyed. So when you look at this Buccaneers team coming into Atlanta against a struggling Atlanta defense, what is it that you kind of expect to see out of the Buccaneers?
Well, you mentioned it, James, because it seems like the Bucs are sort of trending down, and you wonder, coming off of a bye week and with Jameis Winston coming back, whether or not that's going to be a recipe for them to sort of, you know, redirect the ship and get things going in the right direction for them. Obviously the Bucs have arguably the best wide receiver duo in the league, in Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. Certainly those guys have been playing like that. Obviously that's going to be the most pressing concern. The Falcons have historically struggled to keep Mike Evans contained. DeSean Jackson, has been arguably the best deep threat in the league this year. So that's going to be a major issue. I think the injury to O.J. Howard, I think, is sort of unfortunate for the Bucs, but certainly a blessing for the Falcons, because I think him along with Cameron Brait, the Falcons, you know, probably weren't going to be able to match up as well with both of those guys. Only having to deal with one of those guys is going to be something that maybe this Falcons defense, as much as it is struggling, can handle at least reasonably well. But it's going to be really the Bucs passing game that I think is going to be the major issue that the Falcons are going to have to deal with. But of course, one of the interesting things that has occurred this past year, and it was especially true in Pittsburgh last week, was that whatever the things that the Pittsburgh Steelers had been struggling with all year long were things that they were able to get right against this Falcons defense. And the concern is going to be that maybe the Bucs can have a repeat of that. And, you know, I think one of the things I've noticed watching the Bucs this year is they've lived and died by the big play. And early in the season, they were getting those big plays. And as of late, they haven't been able to hit on those big plays, and their offense has sort of stagnated a little bit. So I do wonder if, you know, going up against this Falcon defense, will they get their big play offense back on track? Will they get their running game going? The Falcons really can't stop the run that effectively without Grady Jarrett, sort of their anchor in the middle of their defense. So those are the areas of concern right now, facing this Falcons defense and looking at this Buccaneers offense. It is a very potent offense. It is one that can get points in bunches, get yards in chunks. And if the Falcons aren't careful, and frankly, there's no reason looking at how their defense has performed this year to think that they will be able to slow down this Buccaneers offense.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the Bucs finally can get that run game going, especially if the Falcons defense is susceptible to that. You know, they activated Ronald Jones for the first time in week four, and he looked pretty good for, you know, considering the game script. So it'll be interesting to see how he's used. You know, can his speed take advantage of a depleted Falcons defense? And you mentioned one of the big hits to the Bucs offense is the loss in OJ Howard. But I also kind of look at it as, you know, Cameron Brate, it's time for his kind of reemergence. That's Jameis Winston's security blanket right there. And he will force feed Brate to a fault at times. But I look for Brate to be heavily, heavily involved in the offense this week. Maybe not so much DeSean Jackson. There's still kind of the timing and the chemistry issues between the two of them. I know they worked out a lot together during the offseason, whether it was, you know, at the Bucs facility or in their own time. But, you know, this is an offense that can definitely put up a lot of points in a hurry. But how is it going to click the way it did the first 2 weeks with Jameis under center? You know, of course, I believe Jameis is the more talented of the quarterbacks. That's why he's the starter. That's why he's the future of the franchise. But there was something about the way Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing and connecting with these guys that you hope that they can kind of, well, you don't want to hope for it, but Bucs fans hope that he can kind of muster up some of that magic and you'll be able to create it, that high octane, high tempo, high scoring offense, to the point that they don't have to use the run game as they didn't in those first 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Falcons are going to, you know, I said that the Bucs offense is able to put up points, but, you know, the thing with Jameis is that he's prone for turnovers. Mm-hmm. And I think if the Falcons can sort of get him playing from behind, you know, get out to an early lead and get the Bucs playing from behind, maybe they can get Jameis to force some throws, to press a little bit and create some turnovers. And basically that's the only real hope I have right now for this Falcons defense to get any stops against this Buccaneers offense is just Jameis, you know, heaving up a couple of desperation throws or, you know, forcing the ball into double coverage or something like that. Because right now there's nothing to really say that the Falcons defense can really slow down this Buccaneers offense based off of what we've seen over the last month.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when I take a look at the Falcons, I'm terrified. I mean, that's the best way to put it. I started diving into some numbers, and it seems like under Mike Smith's defense, which I've blasted, you know, for the past week, and I'm not going to harp on that too much, but under Mike Smith's defense over the course of the last 36 games, if there's something that isn't clicking with a team's offense, the Bucs seem to be that get right game. You know, you look at Mitch Trubisky and his ability to throw almost as many touchdowns in one game as he had throughout his career up to that point. You take a look at, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers not being able to get the tight ends as involved as they wanted to. You know, Vance McDonald comes in, stiff arms Conti all the way to the IR, and he has a huge game. So, you look at the way the Falcons have played this year, and Calvin Ridley is an emerging star in this league. I really like him a lot. I hate the fact that he went to the Falcons, but he's been playing out of his mind. You know, Mohamed Sanu had a big game against the Steelers, but as you said, Julio Jones was shut out for the first three quarters of that game. Well, taking a look throughout the 12 games of Julio Jones' career against Tampa Bay, this is 75% of a full NFL season, mind you. 12 games, he has 83 receptions, 1,413 yards, and 10 touchdowns. That's the most of any of those categories for Julio Jones against any team in the NFL. But under Mike Smith, in his four games, in 2016, he had 12 receptions for 177 yards and two touchdowns. Mind you, in the other 14 games, he had four touchdowns. So he had a third of his season long, or his season total of touchdowns against the Bucs. 2017, 15 receptions, 307 yards, and two touchdowns. He finished with three on the season. So two-thirds of his touchdowns in 2017 came against the Bucs. I looked for Julio Jones to just absolutely explode. We're talking another 200-yard game, multi-touchdown. There's nobody in the secondary that can slow him down, that can stop him. Brent Grimes looks like a shell of his former self. You have the rookie in Carlton Davis, who is still battling an injury. You have another rookie in MJ Stewart. You have a second-year safety in Justin Evans. You have the rookie Jordan Whitehead. Yeah, the secondary is just an absolute disaster. And if the Falcons aren't able to take advantage of that depleted secondary and a poor defensive scheme the way they have the past couple of seasons, Aaron, I hate to break it to you, but your season would be completely over. If they can't somehow put up 35 against this Bucs defense, I will be absolutely stunned. So you know, the X factor in this game for me looking at the Falcons is it's Julio, and I could see him getting double-digit receptions, not even just double-digit targets. We're talking double-digit receptions. I don't think Austin Hooper is going to be a factor at all because the trio of Julio and Ridley and Sanu is going to be just a complete nightmare.
Yeah, man, that's great points there. People always talk about Julio's inability to get in the end zone, but he doesn't ever really seem to have the issue against the Bucs. And no, I think you're doesn't. Right. I think you're right. If the Falcons cannot find a way to, frankly, decimate this Buccaneers defense, then I do think it's pretty much a wrap on their season. You know, the hope was that they would figure it out last week against Pittsburgh. You know, the odds, you know, from a 1-4 start, the chances of making the playoffs are down to 6%. So the chances of them really sort of turning around and making the playoffs are slim to none. But they can certainly do something in the back half of this season to at least inspire some confidence for 2019 if they can sort of get things back on track. And this Buccaneers game, a team that they historically have put up a lot of points on, is, you know, it's coming, you know, in a home game. This is a perfect opportunity for the Falcons to get their season or at least get their offense back on track. We'll see about the defense in the rest of the season. And I think, you know, looking at this game, it's going to be interesting to see what the Falcons can do because the offensive line has struggled this season. The running game has not really been effective. Part of that is owed to the fact that Devontae Freeman has missed three games. So if they can sort of be this balanced offense in addition to, you know, lighting up the Bucs secondary with Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman, I believe, had nearly 200 total yards in his last performance against the Bucs last year. So it's one of those things where the Falcons have the recipe to really, you know, dominate this game offensively and really force the Buccaneers to play sort of not necessarily left-handed because, again, as I mentioned earlier, this is an offense that has been able to score in bunches this year, but at least dictate the pace of this game and force the Bucs to have to match them as opposed to doing the reverse and trying to match the Bucs, if you get my drift. So that's going to be one of the things I'm sort of focused on in this game. And you know, I think if the Falcons can run the ball, they can feed Julio. But, you know, one of the interesting things about that is that this offense has not been great when they've been trying to force feed Julio. When they're able to spread the ball around to guys like Ridley and Hooper and Sanu, that has been very beneficial. And you mentioned some of those guys that you're not expecting to play well and others that you are. So it'll be interesting to see if this is going to be another Julio just, you know, lighting the Bucs up single-handedly for a 200-plus yard game, or is this going to be a quote-unquote typical Julio 100-yard game against the Bucs, but other players like Ridley and others sort of emerge along with Freeman to sort of, you know, spread the love, I guess you could say.
All right. Well, Aaron, before we get into our predictions, we want to make sure that all of our listeners, both Falcons and Buccaneers fans, know that they have a great opportunity to go to the game thanks to our friends at Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicating to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, our listeners can watch their favorite sports teams and artists perform in person. They help fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. Not only that, but you can search for your tickets based on price or in a section or row of your choice. Our friends at Vivid Seats are offering our listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. All right, Aaron, hit us with it. What is your final score prediction for Sunday's game between the Falcons and Bucs?
I am going to go with a score of, try to do the math in my head, 38-30, the Falcons taking this one. I think this will be a high-scoring shootout. I don't think either defense is going to do a whole lot, but I do think that, you know, a turnover here, who can maybe slow the game down with, you know, a little bit of a balance in running game, can sort of control the time of possession a little bit, could wind up determining the outcome of this game. But it really is not – I'm not confident in that sort of prediction. It really kind of is a toss-up based off of how poorly the Falcons performed last week in a game that they sort of needed to perform well. And so this is another one. And right now I can't necessarily be too confident that they will be able to step up and live up to those expectations. But 38-30 Falcons for me.
All right. Well, you know, I take a look at some of the crazy numbers that we've seen, and I know my listeners have heard it, but for the Falcons fans listening, since Mike Smith has become defensive coordinator, the Buccaneers have allowed 400 or more yards of offense in 19 games. That's 19 out of 36. And the Bucs are 4-15 when it happens. Also, under Mike Smith, when opposing teams score 30 points or more, that has happened in 13 games, and the Bucs are 1-12. I have a feeling that both of those numbers are going to be hit by the Falcons, and both of those numbers are going to cause another loss for the Bucs, which would make their third in a row. I'm going with the Falcons 41-36. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think the Bucs are going to have to try to climb back in it late. They're one of only, I believe it was 10 teams in the NFL that have not attempted a two-point conversion to this point this season. I think that changes as they're going to have to try to battle back late in the game and try to make up for some lost points. But I just don't see the Bucs being able to pull off an upset in Atlanta with the way this defense is and with Atlanta still having the offensive weapons that they do. So Aaron, I think that's going to do it for us, bud. Anything going on your Twitter account over at falcfans.com or lockedonfalcons.com?
Well, of course we do the daily show on Locked On Falcons. And of course the Twitter account is there, Locked On Falcons. And you can see the podcast and other rare content up at falcfans.com. But the one thing I will add about your prediction, James, is the last two crossover episodes against the Bengals and Steelers, I predicted the Falcons to win those games, and the host of Locked On Bengals and the host of Locked On Steelers predicted the Falcons to win both of those games, and they did win that game. So the fact that we're both in agreement that the Falcons should win this game, at least over the last 2 weeks, has resulted in a Falcons loss. So if for your Locked On Bucks listeners, you know, even maybe James picking the Falcons to win this game is a blessing in disguise.
Well, I've picked the Bucks to win once out of five predictions this year. So that was against the Bears. But yeah, I picked the Saints to win. I picked the Eagles to win. I picked the Steelers to win. Buccaneers fans are going to start to hate me here real soon.
I think Falcon fans are going to start to hate me just because I keep picking the Falcons to win. They keep losing. So we might be in the same boat.
Watch, we're going to finish in a tie. It's like
that would be glorious.
Oh, it'd be the worst. Oh goodness. All right, well, make sure you're checking out everything that Aaron is doing with Locked On Falcons. You can follow him at Falk Fans. That's FalkFans, and of course you can follow at Locked On Falcons. As for me, you can check out everything that I'm doing over at bucksnation.com, and make sure to follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks and at @JYarko_Bucks. We would like to thank each and every one of you for joining us right here on Crossover Wednesdays.